Will you please be seated? So I refer now to the agenda for the meeting, and we'll begin with item one, apologies for absence. I'd like to invite the Chief Executive to give any apologies received.
Thank you, Mrs. Mayor. Apologies have been received from Councillor Greg Hall.
Thank you. Item two, are there any declarations of interest? No, thank you. So we'll move on to item three, to approve the minutes of the annual council meeting held on the 26th of April 2021. I propose the approval of the minutes. Could I have a seconder? Councillor Allen. Now we shall go to the vote. We move back to the ordinary method of raising your hands for the vote. You might have forgotten how to do it, but we'll go back to what we used to do. So would you raise your hands, please, if you are for the motion to accept the minutes? Thank you. Any against? Thank you. Any abstentions? Thank you. Okay, we move on to item four. And I have a very pleasant duty to perform. At the last meeting, the previous mayor made reference to three of our councillors who've achieved significant milestones this year. Councillor Bilth and Fletcher have both achieved service of 35 years, and Councillor Fitzpatrick, 30 years. Of being elected to the council and serving our community. So I'm now going to present them each with a certificate of achievement. If you'd like to come when I call your name out, and if you'd like to say anything when you're here, please feel free. Councillor Fletcher. Councillor Bill?
Yes,
but not least, Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Just a quick thank you to Councillor Pauline and to the office of the council, and of course the residents in the past of Hornby Road and State Road.
I believe that the Leader of the Council has an announcement to make. Leader?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to announce the appointment of Councillor Steve Sankey as Cabinet Support Member in place of Councillor Sue McGarry, who is stepping down due to work commitments. I would like to warmly welcome Steve and his significant local authority experience and look forward to the contributions that he will bring to the role. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank Councillor Sue McGarry for her hard work in her role as Cabinet Support Member. Sue is a passionate, steadfast and incredibly hard-working advocate for the people of this borough, and I hugely value the enormous contribution that she has made to my Cabinet. And I know will continue to be an active member of this authority going forward. So heartfelt thanks to Sue and a very warm welcome to Steve. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Leader. Item 5. I'd like to invite the returning officer to report on the results of the Borough Council by-election.
Thank you, Mrs. Mayor. I think everybody knows we have two brand new councillors in our midst this evening. It was following an election on May the 6th, and at this point, usually with by-elections, we welcome our new members with a clap, which we'll do in a second, but just in case you weren't aware, we have Councillor Louise Walker in the Eaton Park Ward and also Councillor Tom Hadley in the Eaton Park Ward.
Can I add my welcome to the meeting? Good to see you. Item 6 on the agenda, we have received a petition which has been publicised online and in paper format. The combined total of valid signatures electronically and in paper format is 1,648. The paper petition title as received is "We the undersigned reject the Uttoxeter Master Plan and demand a fresh and full consultation for all residents and stakeholders." The online petition title as received is shelve the Master Plan until the residents of Uttoxeter and surrounding villages have their say post-COVID. Not just those on Facebook. Uttoxeter deserves a plan that just looks to build houses. Our town has a deep history with people who care. Residents have a lot of ideas if only given the chance to express them properly. Can I just explain to you at this point that the procedure for receiving a petition is regulated by the Constitution and will last for 30 minutes. So I'd first like to invite Tom Deary, as the relevant officer, to set out the background to the issue.
Thank you, Mrs. Mayor, and good evening, members of the Council and public. I would like to provide a timeline of events and activities that will hopefully summarise the Uttoxeter Master Plan project to date and provide some useful context for the discussion this evening. In 2019-20, a joint project with Staffordshire County Council to refresh the 2003 Uttoxeter Town Centre Master Plan was launched, which this was later confirmed in the 2021 Corporate Plan. A competitive tender exercise was undertaken at the same time, through which Cushman and Wakefield were identified as the preferred supplier. On the 15th of April 2020, an executive decision record was approved, appointing Cushman and Wakefield at a cost to the Council of £19,952.50. This was met entirely by an external funding bid. The EDR also confirmed that any future capital proposals arising from the project would be brought to Cabinet or Council for approval as required. In May 2020, an approach to stakeholder engagement was confirmed by Cushman and Wakefield. This set out how stakeholders would be categorised into two groups. Group 1 comprised those that could help influence key design principles, such as councillors and landowners. Group 2 comprised those that could provide an overall perspective on strengths, weaknesses and ambitions for the town. One-to-one meetings were offered to members of Group 1, with letters being emailed out to members of Group 2. A live public consultation event, as originally planned, would not take place because of the risks presented by COVID-19, both in terms of the spreading of the disease and the restrictions in place at the time. As such, the public survey consultation was set up on the Council's website using an online form. The public consultation then ran from the 18th of September 2020 until 2nd of October 2020, a period of just over 2 weeks. This was publicised by the Council's webpage, Facebook page, Twitter account, and a press release issued to the Council's media list. The feedback from the consultation and the stakeholder engagement was compiled into a statement of community involvement document, which was then used to inform the Master Plan. Between the end of the consultation and the Council meeting in December, Cushman and Wakefield developed possible options for the priority areas or opportunity areas in the Master Plan and created a final Master Plan document. The approach to identifying and refining the options is explained within the document itself, but it focuses on residential-led schemes for reasons of increasing population, footfall and spend, considering this against market viability and deliverability. Complementing these suggestions, the document also identifies what it calls softer interventions in order to improve vibrancy and vitality. The final master plan document was presented to full council on the 21st of December 2020 with a covering report that recommended that members consider and approve the findings of the master plan, which was resolved. On the 22nd of February 2021, the council issued a press release confirming that the next round of consultation for the Uttoxeter master plan would be brought forward once face-to-face engagement could take place. On the 15th of June 2021, the council issued a further press release confirming the launch of its next round of consultation to take place over the summer and inviting residents to sign up for a mailing list in order to receive updates about the forthcoming consultation exercise. The consultation exercise is to focus on the four opportunity sites, exploring residents' views and aspirations for the possible redevelopment of those sites. This will involve a hybrid approach to consultation, meaning that the use of both virtual and physical forms of engagement. There will be up to six stakeholder engagement workshops and a six-week period of public consultation over the summer. The details for this will be confirmed in another press release later this week. Thank you, Mrs. Mayor.
Thank you, Tom. I'd now like to invite the petition organiser to address the council. I understand she's not available today, but we have Hazel Glover who is going to address us. Is that correct? Wish to come to the...
Do you want me to speak from here or...
Entirely at your convenience, what is easier for you?
From here?
That's fine.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. As you've heard, I'm here to deliver the petition on behalf of the Uttoxeter residents against this master plan.
Hazel, I'm very sorry. I should have informed
not
you...
Here.
I should have informed you at the beginning that you just have 3 minutes to speak.
I can't hear you.
I should have informed you at the beginning that you just have 3 minutes to speak. All the speakers have 3 minutes, and I do apologise. I should have told you that before you began.
Okay. Shall I start again? Or?
Please do, and I apologise for interrupting.
Okay, thank you. We feel in Uttoxeter that the consultation process was wholly inadequate. It was carried out during the summer lockdown in 2020, as you've already heard, and was a very short period. It was a time when people weren't able to be in contact with each other physically, and there were many residents, of course, who have no internet access. Significant stakeholders were working under altered conditions, and many people were either unaware of the exercise or they were unable to respond. And that was indicated by the fact that less than 200 residents actually responded to the consultation that the consultants carried out. We think the research was also extremely minimal. That was shown by the fact that this plan was almost identical to the plan which those consultants produced, for a neighbouring town in the Moorlands. In fact, on what the original draft of the plan, they actually called us by that name instead of calling us Uttoxeter. You should also be aware that the Uttoxeter Town Council, I think 2 years ago, had formed a forum which consisted of councillors and of local stakeholders and concerned residents who met very regularly before the pandemic locked us all down. They discussed Uttoxeter, they looked at existing facilities and considered the future needs. And they produced some very, very imaginative ideas to regenerate our town. As a result of a casting vote in the town council, it was decided not to provide you and Staffordshire Council with any information. Neither was this information passed on to the consultants to help them in their task. Please be aware that if this proposed plan goes ahead, there will be insufficient parking and facilities for the vast influx of residents that we're expecting from the many houses that have already been built and are still in the process of being built. And looking at the plans, I don't know whether many of you have actually looked at those plans, but they seem to concentrate mainly on building houses in the town centre, on the car park, possibly on the bus station, without any consideration for greenery, green spaces, open spaces where people can enjoy the town. Nobody in the responses that came to the consultants wanted housing being built in the town centre. This lack of proper research and consultation has resulted, we think, in a very disappointing and flawed plan. And therefore, I'm here to urge you, on behalf of the people of Uttoxeter, to shelve this plan.
I'm sorry.
Not just to do some tweaking here and there.
Now. You've had
but
your
to shelve the plan and produce a better, more appropriate one. We don't want our town centre.
Would you
almost
please,
two sentences, please?
Now, you have had your 3 minutes. Okay. I'd be grateful if you sat down now, please.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd now like to ask the relevant ward councillors if they would like to speak on this item. They also have 3 minutes in which they can speak. Councillor Allen, would you like to speak on this motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to start by thanking the petition organiser, Mrs Glover, and all those who have taken part by adding their names to it, and I am very much looking forward to listening to the views of all 1,648 residents who have called for the master plan, quote, to be shelved until residents of Uttoxeter and surrounding villages have had their say post-COVID. The subject of regeneration in Uttoxeter has been something Councillor McGarry and I have raised numerous times since he'd been elected in 2015. It is a subject which residents in Uttoxeter care deeply about, and they are looking for solutions to the dreadful state the Maltings precinct is in and has been for so long. I have knocked on hundreds of doors in both the town and Heath wards, and this is the single most important issue. The master plan has been used as a political football, and its content, aspiration and vision have been taken out of context. For example, there are no plans to close the public toilets, not now, not in the future. There are no plans to stop bus services in the town centre. People will still be able to access bus routes as easily as they can now. Car parking is important, and any changes to local car parking will have to be evidence-based and thought through properly. The Council has already announced further consultation, and I hope I am right to assume that this would be satisfactory to those who have signed the petition, those wishing for, quote, a chance to express their ideas properly. As I said earlier, 1,648 petitioners now have the opportunity to do just that. However, I do have to disagree with those who are looking for the plan to be shelved, or to quote Councillor Grosvenor, we, presumably residents in Uttoxeter, don't want the consultation, we want it torn up into little pieces. This is not, by a long way, the prevailing view of most people in Uttoxeter, nor is it the view of this council. I would like to quote a pledge from the Conservative Party manifesto, which received a huge mandate in the 2019 local elections. We pledge to regenerate the town centre with appropriate levels of development. Members will recall the Conservative group was under a different leadership at that point. We cannot disregard a manifesto because of a leadership change. This council adopted a corporate strategy which would bring the master plan for Uttoxeter forward. This council then adopted with huge support from across the political spectrum. Over 80% of members voted to adopt the plan. The subject of consultation was heavily debated when the master plan was adopted, and yet still over 80% of members supported it from across the chamber. So whilst I thank Mrs Glover for bringing the petition to council, I would urge members to consider the 1,648 petitioners are one part of the community in Uttoxeter, and we are charged with representing all communities across the borough, not just one. I would encourage all members to consider the petition alongside all relevant facts pertinent to the ongoing conversation of regeneration, and I would ask that members think carefully about those who would seek to undermine the council's efforts.
Councillor Allen, now you've had your 3 minutes. Would you sit, please? Thank you. Councillor Goodfellow, would you like to comment on this? Yep.
So, thank you, Madam Mayor. Firstly, can I express my thanks to those who've signed the petition expressing their views and feedback. Feedback's incredibly important in our role as borough councillors, and I always welcome all views. I believe, quite importantly, that I'm here to represent a balanced view of all my constituents, so recognise that the petition before us represents one point of view, and that there may also be a number of constituents who are perfectly content with the broad principles of the plan. Indeed, as I'll go on to explain, I actually believe a very significant majority are in favour of the broad principles of this plan. I think it's important to just pick up on a couple of key points from the petition. Firstly, that it suggests rejecting or shelving the plan, and secondly, that it requests further consultation. So, as Councillor Allen suggested, it's probably important to remember that this council voted overwhelmingly to accept the master plan last year, and I won't comment on the sudden retrospective politics that seem to have emerged, but would remind members that they have had the opportunity to scrutinise and consider the plan already, and I'm very glad that members supported it. I know that the vast majority of members in the Chamber this evening understand that what a master plan is and what a master plan is intended to do. So I know that you all understand that the illustrations in the plan do not reflect specific plans or specific planning policy, but merely an illustration of what developments across these key sites might look like. It's my personal opinion that the aims and intentions of the master plan have unfortunately been misrepresented to the people of Uttoxeter. In my view, that fuelled by social media inaccuracy, the petition before us this evening has been set up without a full appreciation of what a master plan is or does, and as a result didn't necessarily give respondents a full picture of the situation before seeking their support. It seems to me that respondents have likely been led to look at illustrative or conceptual plans and then associated those with specific outcomes. So, for example, the Maltings will be bulldozed for housing and the car park built on. This simply is not the case. What a master plan suggests is a mixed-use redevelopment of the Maltings area, a mix of retail and housing, and illustrates how the council may contribute to this redevelopment by some use of the car park area. I was hugely proud to be elected to represent the residents of the Heath Ward in 2019, and I spent a significant amount of time knocking on residents' doors. I knocked on hundreds of doors, and the overwhelming sentiment was that the future of the town and the high street was blighted by the Maltings. The vast majority of households I spoke to said something must be done to redevelop the Maltings, and I absolutely agree. And since being elected, I've pursued discussions with a view to try and secure redevelopment. That said, in order for the council to have a stronger footing in those discussions, it was necessary to have a formal, up-to-date proposal for the Maltings, and that was one key element of the master plan.
Thank you, Councillor Goodfellow. You've had your 3 minutes.
Thanks.
Councillor McGarry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As a Uttoxeter councillor for the last 6 years, it has on many occasions been intimated to me that Uttoxeter residents are the poor relations to that of Burton residents. Understandably, when you see the regeneration of Station and High Street, the exciting Washlands project, and not forgetting the receipt of £25 million to enhance the town. Therefore, as a Uttoxeter councillor and resident, I can appreciate the reasoning for the poor relation comment, as well as their frustration. However, we had an opportunity that was brought to this council last year to kickstart regeneration in Uttoxeter with the much-needed master plan. This council therefore adopted the Uttoxeter master plan in its current format. There weren't any questions about the level of engagement, and there weren't any criticisms of the process this council followed. Shortly after this, sadly, individuals on social media appeared to me to decide to adopt a campaign to undermine the master plan. Social media campaigns were pursued, which attracted many local followers keen to see positive development in the town. However, what transpired appeared to me to be an unrestrained and unregulated forum, which led to facts being misrepresented and unwarranted personal attacks on individuals. That said, this forum gave Uttoxeter councillors the opportunity to watch the debate on social media, especially from the minority of residents who had valid points. I have got some concerns about this petition originating in this forum. However, I do respect the legitimate concerns that people raise and welcome that they have the opportunity to share these as part of the next stage of consultation. As a point of interest, I understand that parking is quite a bone of contention. In Uttoxeter, we currently have in excess of 1,600 spaces within at most a 10-minute or at less than 5-minute walk to the High Street in Uttoxeter, some of which are free of charge. Those supermarket-owned are for customers only, but let's face it, buy a loaf of bread and you can park for 2 hours free, and others which charge for 2 hours. I must point out that I have not included off-street parking in my calculation. But here we are with a petition in front of us. We have promised further consultation, of which we would prefer to deliver face-to-face, in order that we can have the sensible debate. We are asking that those that have signed this petition come forward during this additional consultation and have your say. This council, and more importantly, the four current Uttoxeter Borough councillors, intend to see Uttoxeter regenerated. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Sylvester.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've always liked Uttoxeter, and 16 years ago I decided to set up two leisure businesses in the shopping, business and leisure area being developed in Town Meadows Way. I also decided to live in Uttoxeter. It is a great town with a large number of services, facilities and attractions, many more than most small towns. Having said that, anyone who knows Uttoxeter will know that the Maltins is now nothing short of a disgrace and a total embarrassment to the town. If you're a visitor to Uttoxeter and park in the main car park, then you will walk through the Maltins to the High Street. The Maltins are a desolate and abandoned 1960s shopping arcade with over 20 empty and boarded up shops. This needs to change. The master plan launched in 2020 quite rightly concentrates on four areas urgently needing regeneration. The Maltins, the most urgent, the Wheatsheaf, the Trinity Square area and the Quarry, which can become a brilliant sports and leisure area. I supported the master plan when it was approved by a large majority, 80%, at the SBC Council, and when it was endorsed again by a large majority by Uttoxeter Town Council, where I'm also a councillor and currently mayor. I also welcome the decision by ESBC to put the master plan on hold until further consultation can be carried out, including this time face-to-face meetings with residents, which was not originally possible due to COVID-19. My hope is that all residents will engage in the consultation process, including those with positive comments and supporters of the master plan. I believe that the majority of Uttoxeter residents, and I have spoken to hundreds of them, wishes to push forward to the master plan after making any reasonable changes after the consultation and start the regeneration as soon as possible. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. We now move on to the general debate on this item, where the normal rules of debate will apply. So there's not a great deal of time left of the 30 minutes, but the normal rules of debate will allow 10 minutes for each person to speak. Do I have any councillors who would wish to speak further on this debate? Councillor Forrest-Jewkes.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very pleased to say I'm not one of the 8% that voted for this. I didn't vote it at the time because I felt it lacked imagination, it lacked vision, it lacked ambition, quite frankly, and I'm still of these same opinions now. I think what Mrs. Glover, the petitioner, has identified is there have been a great many of missed opportunities. As she said, the Town Council a number of years ago brought forward some very good ideas that weren't adopted by the consultants, and that's a great shame. Councillor Allen has identified that the single most important issue to people of Uttoxeter is this, so it's so important to get it right. And I've got to say, I don't think it's what the four councillors that have spoke want, it's what the people of Uttoxeter and East Staffordshire as a whole want. I visit Uttoxeter regularly, so I want to see it be vibrant and generate income and footfall, and I want it to prosper, much the same as everyone in Uttoxeter. So I don't think it's just a Uttoxeter issue. I think the two crucial words in both the online and the paper petition are reject and shelve the master plan. That's what's called for. I've got to say that I think it's a bit more than feedback, as Councillor Goodfellow suggested. It's a real opposition to what's being proposed. And I think it's a great opportunity to revisit it, to go back to the drawing board and say, OK, what do we want? I mean, I've listened to what's gone on from the four speakers, and it's a bit like a political football, quite frankly, and I think it's quite shameful that it's being used in that way. And I wish that would be put aside and really concentrate on what can be done here, what can be done for generations to come, not just in the immediate, but for the, I don't know, Sue's got children, for her children and other people's children, what they want for years to come, not just what is happening in the immediate. So I think it's a great opportunity, like I said, to go back to the drawing board and really listen to what people want. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I think Councillor Grosvenor wishes to speak.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Well.
A lot of points have been made by the four councillors tonight about how this petition started and about the, quote, real reasons behind it. The real reasons behind it are this. When this council brought the master plan last September and voted for it, 80% councillors voted for it. That's roughly 32, of which 25 aren't even based in Uttoxeter or surrounding Uttoxeter. So 80% is a figure that's been quoted. Well, that's the real facts behind it. But when this was brought in September, I spoke against it, I voted against it, and was contacted by residents in Uttoxeter who felt, and by the way, still feel, that they are not being represented by their councillors properly in this chamber. This chamber voted for the master plan, not the residents in Uttoxeter. They didn't know what the detail was about the master plan. I'm actually convinced that some councillors this evening don't even know the detail of the master plan. Councillor Allen has referred to the fact that the toilets won't be closed. In previous interviews, he suggested they will remain open as long as they're being used. But then if you close the bus station, they're not going to be used. So I would suggest that you don't play semantics with words, and I think you should be honest and open with the residents of Uttoxeter. Now, in another interview, Councillor Allen suggested that there was 86 responses to the consultation saying what is the priority area for development in Uttoxeter. And he said that the second highest number was to build houses. That's false. Nobody in that response said, let's build houses. In fact, more people in that response said, let's not build houses. So Councillor Allen, again, is confused on that point, and I think he's absolutely misrepresenting that to the residents of Uttoxeter, who are not in favour of this master plan. 161 responses to the two-week consultation took place on this master plan. 1,648 people have signed a petition to say they don't want it. Now, I'd like to thank Councillor Allen for his comments at the last council meeting. I did find them slightly ironic and a little bit arrogant, I must admit, but they've helped this evening. His comments were, you people in the minority don't appreciate the majority rule, and you can't abide an alternate view. Well, 161 people responded to a consultation which they didn't know the facts of because the master plan wasn't produced then. It was just a number of questions. 1,648 people have said they don't want it. I'll give you a clue what the majority figure is there, and it's not 161. You need to be listening to the people of Uttoxeter. I am just an outlet for what they wanted to say because they feel and felt this council isn't listening to them. They don't want houses built all over the town centre of Uttoxeter, and that's what they feel they're going to get with this master plan. Now, admittedly, the council have said they're going to consult on four areas, but all you're doing is reconsulting on the existing master plan that the residents of Uttoxeter don't want. The master plan is poison. It's absolutely poison, and it's not credible. It's discredited because the people of Uttoxeter won't buy it. And if you consult on it and just re-implement the existing master plan with a few tweaks, you're going to... I'm sorry, Councillor Goodfellow can shake his head, but you're going to disenfranchise the residents of Uttoxeter even more. They've spoken to you. They've said we don't want it. You're going to re-consult. You're going to give it back in a different format. If you're reconsulting, it's quite simple. Scrap the existing master plan, reconsult, and give them a plan they can all buy into. If you want success for the master plan, everybody's got to be behind it, and that includes every resident of Uttoxeter. They're not going to be behind the current master plan in whatever form you introduce it. Scrap it, reconsult, and give them one that we can all get behind.
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. Councillor Walker, you have about a minute.
Thank you for that, Madam Mayor. Mrs. Mayor, I'm not quite sure how we should address you.
Madam will do nicely.
Thank you, that will suit me for the rest of the evening. I'm not going to get involved in this political football that's going on. I just want to pay tribute to the residents of Uttoxeter and for the coordinated, well-organised campaign and protecting the integrity of what is an historic market town. I can say that I was one of those people who voted against the Uttoxeter Master Plan, so I've got a clear conscience. There is a lot of issues being raised here tonight. If we got more time, we'd have a very interesting debate. But let's remember, these things should be driven by the people, for the people. It's these people that live in this town, and we should listen to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. That actually draws the debate to a close. Thank you for attending. Thank you for speaking on behalf of the petition. The Council has now received the petition. The Council has 5 days to respond, and the petitions officer will respond to the petition organiser on that basis. This item is now closed. We now move on to item 7 on the agenda. There is no urgent business, so we move on to item 8.
Point of order, Madam Mayor.
Which point of order would you like to point out, Councillor Walker?
I'd just like to ask, under 12.2, you say there's no important business, emergency business being brought forward. I realise that you've responded to me, but there was 2 emergency motions forwarded. Could you give me an explanation? And I know you say you declined it. Do you decline it not as an emergency motion? Because under 12.2, it suggests if you decline it as not as an emergency motion, it should be put to the voting councillors. And also 14.5, where it says, if it is effect of general interest to the inhabitants of the borough of East Staffordshire. Now, I believe the motions were centred around the moving of the library into the market hall, and I believe that is very much of an as a general interest, and it affects the inhabitants of East Staffordshire. And if you now won't accept it, will you put it to the voting councillors under 12.2?
Thank you, Councillor. As I've already indicated to you on my emails to you, I have rejected this for very valid reasons, and I'm not prepared to enter any further discussion in this matter. As far as I'm concerned, the matter is closed, and we'll move on to item 8, the Constitution update. I'd like to invite the Monitoring Officer to present this report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Council is required to adopt its constitution annually. My report brings forward the latest proposals for changes, which are set out at section 4 of the report as well as in the appendices that have been circulated with the agenda pack. The recommendations are for Council to approve the amendments to parts 3J, 4G and 5A as detailed at section 4, that all other aspects of the constitution remain unaltered, and that the Council adopt the Constitution with immediate effect. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Could I have a proposer for this motion, please? Leader, Councillor Goodfellow, thank you. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Allen? Would anyone like to speak on this item? Councillor Grosvenor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to propose 2 further amendments, which I believe, as part of the rules of procedure this evening, I'm allowed to propose.
Written. Have you got them in writing, Councillor?
I have got them in writing, yes. I want to read them out first.
If you would submit them, please.
Well, can I have them back? Because I've only got one section. I need to obviously read it out.
Read it out then, please.
And then I'll submit them. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So, I'd like to, first of all, propose an amendment to Section 3A, paragraph 5, and add a Section 5.3, which suggests that an extraordinary meeting of Council may be called by no less than 10 members in writing to the Chief Executive detailing the nature of the business to be dealt with. Nowhere in our Constitution does it allow for members of the Council to call an extraordinary meeting, but given that in the Constitution it does allow for members of the Council, up to 10, to call for a change of leader, I do think that it should allow for members of the Council to call for an extraordinary meeting as well to take place. So I'd like to submit that amendment as my first amendment. My second amendment affects Section 3A, Paragraph 18, which is titled Questions by Councillors. I'd like to delete the words by councillors and add in questions at full council meetings. And I'd like then to... The next subsection is titled Subsection Petitions on Notice at Full Council. I'd like to add the words by councillors. And then after Section 18.2, add another subsection which is called Questions on Notice at Full Council by Members of the Public. Members of the public are allowed to ask questions at other councils in the area, notably Warsaw, and also at Uttoxeter. So I'm suggesting that we, as a council, it's not a political point this, allow our members of the public to raise questions on notice to our council. They don't believe at this point, as referenced in the previous item, that they're being representative, and I'd like to ask questions. So then I'd like to add the following points to section 18, underneath 18.12, making it 18.13. Public participation. Citizens have the right to participate in the Council's question time at ordinary meetings of the Council. 18.14. Order of the questions. Questions will be asked in the order that notice of them was received, except that the person presiding may group together similar questions. 18.15. Notice of questions. A question may only be asked if the notice has been given and delivered in writing to the Chief Executive no later than midday, 7 clear days before the day of the meeting. Each question must give the name and address of the questioner and the name of the member of the Council to whom it is to be put. 18.16, number of questions. At any one meeting, no person may submit more than one question, and no more than one such question may be asked on behalf of one organisation. 18.17, time allowed. A period of 30 minutes shall be allowed for questions by members of the public, subject to paragraph 18.22 of these rules. 18.18, scope of questions. A question may be rejected if it is A, not about a matter that council has a responsibility or for which affects the borough, B, is defamatory, frivolous or offensive, C, is substantially the same as a question which has been put at a meeting of the council in the past 6 months or requires the disclosure of confidential or exempt information. 18.19, I can see the Conservative group are having questions about whether they should vote this or not. 18.19, record of questions. The Chief Executive will enter each question into a book, open to public inspection, and immediately send a copy of the question to the person to whom it has been put. Rejected questions will include reasons for rejection. Copies of all questions will be circulated to all members and will be made available to the public attending the meeting. 18.20, asking the question at the meeting. The person presiding will invite the questioner to put the question to the person named in the notice. If a questioner who has submitted a written question is unable to present it, they may ask the person presiding to put the question on their behalf. The person presiding may ask the question on the questioner's behalf, indicate that the written reply will be given, or decide in the absence of the questioner that the question will not be dealt with. 18.21, supplemental questions. A questioner who has put a question in person may also put one supplementary question without notice to the person who has responded to their original question. A supplementary question may arise directly out of the original question or the reply. The person presiding may reject a supplementary question if any of it coincides with Rule 18.18 above. 18.22, written answers. Any question which cannot be dealt with during the public question time, either because of the lack of time or because of the non-attendance of the person to whom it has to be put, will be dealt with by a written answer. I've only got two more subsections, Madam Mayor. Thank you for indulging me. 18.23, reference of questions to the Executive or Committee. Unless the person presiding decides otherwise, no discussion will take place on any question, but any member may move that a matter raised by a question is referred to the executive or to the appropriate committee or subcommittee. Once seconded, such a motion will be voted on without discussion. And finally, 18.24, asking a question. To ask a question, please contact the Democratic Services Officer on 01283 508000. So what I'm doing is suggesting this amendment to our Constitution to allow members of the public to raise questions at these council meetings, to be more open, to be more transparent, and to invite the public into this meeting, to this council, to give them the assurance that we are listening to them as a council and we do take their views seriously. But as Councillor Goodfellow said in the previous item, we welcome all views. So you should welcome views and questions of our residents. This is not a political point. This is about making the council more transparent and more open. And I move that amendment. And I'll bring them to you now, Madam Mayor.
Do I have a seconder for this proposal, please? Councillor Florence-Jewkes.
Thank you, Mayor. I reserve my right to speak for the moment, though. Thank you.
Do we have any... Thank you. Any comments? Councillor Grosvenor, Councillor Goodfellow, would you like to begin?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think Councillor Grosvenor has probably forgotten, since he was leader, how the principles of good decision-making work. But frankly, you don't turn up to a full council meeting suggesting amendments to constitutional matters of this nature without having taken appropriate legal advice. So I will not be voting for this amendment.
Thank you.
That's a long one.
Thank you.
That's my writing. That's the short one with regards to each executive meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Allen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm not quite sure, apologies, for which amendment that we're considering. I'll speak on both of them, though, quite happy to.
We're considering both at once.
At the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So, just to rest assured, Councillor Grosvenor, the Conservative Group are not deciding on the hoof about whether or not to support these amendments. It's pretty clear what the Conservative Group and members, probably members across the Chamber, are going to do with these amendments, and that is to reject them, because, as the Leader has already suggested, it is not reasonable to ask members to consider such nitty-gritty of the Constitution without the advice of the Monitoring Officer. And I do think it's a shame that Councillor Grosvenor hasn't taken the opportunity to submit these ideas and suggestions to the Monitoring Officer before the agenda was sent out, so that they could have been debated and they could have been included, they could have had a conversation and maybe had some advice from the Monitoring Officer at that point. So I'm clearly not going to support either amendment, in which order they're considered, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I certainly didn't expect an amendment of that size tonight. We have in the past, of course, had a Constitution subgroup review group, and I think I would have to reject that amendment as it stands, although I did hear some good points in there, and I would suggest that Councillor Grosvenor pass that forward to the Monitoring Officer, and perhaps that review group is set up to look at that in more detail with more time.
Thank you. Councillor Fletcher, did you wish to speak? Okay. Councillor Calora, did you want to speak? Your light's on.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Would anybody else like, any other councillor like to speak? Yes. Councillor Clark?
Thank you for that. I'd just like to firstly thank Councillor Grosvenor for bringing quite a comprehensive amendment, which I think probably has some valid points in there in terms of resident participation at council and through the scrutinies. I think it's a shame that he's chosen tonight to bring it rather than submitting in advance. I think he'll be well aware, considering he was leader of the council, that the councillors need time to scrutinise these decisions. And I think he'll also be well aware that the constitution and the functions of the council is quite an important and serious document. I think it would be wrong for any councillor to vote in favour of an amendment of that size, whether they agree with it or not, considering they haven't had chance to read the detail or technicality of the amendment, other than 5 minutes of shouting during this chamber. So at that point, I will be rejecting this, and I think it's quite sound principle, in the general principle of good governance to put this to proper scrutiny so members have time to fully
point
consider
order,
the implications.
Please,
point of order, which point of order?
Section 3A of the Constitution 3.1, in that councillors...
Point what? Subsection what?
3.1. Code of Conduct 3.1. Councillors are to treat other councillors with respect. To accuse Councillor Grosvenor of shouting, he wasn't shouting.
Do you know, Clarence, Councillor Clarence Jones, I'd be grateful if you sat down. I think you ought to remember your own behaviour at the previous council meeting.
Sorry, I'd
be very grateful if you sat down, please. Would anybody else like to speak on the motion, please? Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a quick one, actually. I won't take that long. Quote, unquote, the word shouting should be expunged from it, and we all observed. It might be not the right thing for Councillor Grosvenor to give us more enough time, but he, word or not, he never shouted, I confess this one, and I would like you to expunge this word. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hussain. Councillor Walker, did you want to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm in a strange position where I actually agree with some people over that side of the room, which is I might have to go and lie down. I think Councillor Grosvenor raises some valid points, and who wouldn't be in favour of greater scrutiny? Who really wouldn't? But there is a lot of detail in there for me to take in tonight, so I would welcome the chance for these amendments to be put forward so we can look at them and then vote on them at a later date, because anybody who rejects greater scrutiny, then they shouldn't probably be sitting in this room tonight. But as for the shouting part, I agree with Councillor saying we're sitting in front of Councillor Grosvenor, and I think that should be taken out of the minutes because he wasn't shouting.
Thank you, Councillor. Does anybody else wish to speak on this motion? Councillor Grosvenor, you have a right to respond at the end. I was going to ask you, Clarence Flanagan, would you like to speak before Councillor Grosvenor then?
That is the procedure, ma'am.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine.
Right. 2 points. The first amendment, the extraordinary meeting and 10 councillors being able to call it, is absolutely fundamental to democracy. That needs to be looked at, certainly. And then, secondly, questions... by members of the public at full council, another fantastic idea and one that is taken up throughout councils up and down the country. Why we haven't got it, I don't know. Where we go forward with this, what I wouldn't want to see is a year of scrutiny of looking at it. Can we make a proposal that at some point it maybe comes through to the next meeting, the December meeting? I don't know whether you can suggest that, Councillor Grosvenor. Thank you.
Not at this point. It will come up, but if the debate is required, it can then come up at the next council meeting. Councillor Grosvenor, do you wish to make further comments?
Oh, before I do, can you just clarify what you just said with regards to it? Not at this point, a debate will come forward at the next meeting.
I thought that it was a full proposal at that point. We're discussing an amendment, aren't we? We're just discussing an amendment, and we will vote on that amendment. I think there's a lot of discussion, Councillor Grosvenor, about how detailed your proposal for the amendment is and how further discussion is being encouraged, but not necessarily at this meeting.
I do find it strange that members of the Council are criticising me for bringing a motion which is very detailed. We should consider a detailed motion. In the Constitution and in the rules of the Council procedure this evening, it doesn't say that a length of an amendment must be X, Y or Z. It doesn't give that restriction to an amendment. I brought the amendment this evening on questions, and I brought another amendment on extraordinary meetings being called by councillors in this chamber. Those items have occurred to me over the last few days, actually, as I reviewed the Constitution, given the fact that we've not got another meeting till December, about the procedure for calling an EGM, and there isn't one for councillors, hence my amendment this evening. And as I reviewed the Constitution with regards to members of the public asking questions, as they've made it perfectly clear to me, when I've discussed with members of the public, that this council isn't listening to them, that they don't feel that their point is being heard by this council. And they've made that more clear over the last few days, as it's become apparent, Madam Mayor, apologies for referring this, that motions have been rejected by this council. So that amendment was drawn up on the back of feedback by residents to me over the last few days. I appreciate it's detailed because I've done my research, because I've included a lot of detail in it, and I've read them out. Principally, it's about asking members of the public to ask questions at this meeting, to allow them 30 minutes to do so, and the other procedures mirror what we've got in our constitution for members of the council asking questions. And so there's nothing different to it. It's quite straightforward. It's quite simple. As Councillor Florence Jukes has said, what I'd hate to happen is to bureaucratic red tape, you know, to take over, and that this item doesn't come forward for another 12 or 18 months. It's ridiculous. We need to move quickly. We need to have a debate. I was hoping tonight would be it. I was hoping that members would ask questions, not just dismiss it out of hand by saying it's too detailed, Councillor Grosvenor. Apologies that it's too detailed. But I would hope that members would have asked questions tonight in a debate. We could have dealt with it this evening and applied it to the Constitution. And it's quite straightforward. There's no political football in this. It's about opening up the council to more transparency for the members of our public to engage with us as a council. As the point I made in the petition debate, you don't understand, really you don't, and whether you do or you don't care, I don't know. You're losing the public. You are losing the goodwill of the public in this council by not listening to them. And this amendment is an attempt to recapture the goodwill of the public. Please do not reject it.
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. We will now move to the vote on the amendment. I don't intend to read it out again. Those who are for the amendment, please show. Thank you. Those who are against the amendment, please show. Thank you. Are there any abstentions? Thank you. The amendment is defeated.
Question, Madam Mayor.
You may.
Has Councillor Fitzpatrick's suggestion been thrown out, or will that go ahead?
It will need to be a formal proposal made later so that it can be considered by the monitoring officer. So we now have a debate on the substantive motion. Would anybody like to debate the substantive motion? Councillor Florence Jukes.
Thank you, Mayor. 3J 2.5 and 2.6, the observers and advisers to meetings of the Senior Officer Employment Committee. It says in 2.5 that meetings of the committee shall be open to the press and the public. And 2.6, councillors who are not former members of the committee may attend meetings of the committee. How do councillors know when these meetings are taking place? If they've got the right to attend, how are they going to know when they're taking place? Are they publicised anywhere? Thank you, Mayor.
Would you like to answer that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The response to that is that the meeting will be publicised if it is a public meeting, but as it also says at Part 3J, in the main, these meetings will be private for obvious reasons, and the right of access does not therefore apply.
Thank you. Any more questions for debate? So we now move on to the debate for the whole motion. Could I have those who support the motion please to show? Those who oppose the motion please show. Thank you. And any abstentions? Thank you. The motion is passed. The constitutional update is passed. Now moved on to item 9, appointment to committees. I'd like to invite the Principal Democratic Service Officer to present this report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report provides an update on the ramifications for membership of committees of the Council following the election of Councillors Thomas Hadley and Louise Walker to the Eaton Ward in May 2021. Section 4.2 of the report details the political share for the three political groups, and Section 5.4 provides the allocation of seats following the application of the political balance calculations. Nominations from the group leaders have been received and are attached at Appendix 1, subject to one change from the Independent Alliance Group. Councillor H. Hall will now sit on the Scrutiny Community Regeneration, Environment and Health and Wellbeing Committee, and Councillor G. Lamb will now sit on the Audit Statement of Accounts Committee and the Scrutiny, Audit and Value for Money Council Services Committee. The four recommendations are set out in Section 12 of the report. I'll pass back to you now, Madam Mayor, for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Could I have a proposer, please? Councillor Goodfellow, seconder. Councillor Faulkner. Does anybody like to speak on this item? Councillor Florence-Dukes.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got severe reservations about voting for this, simply on the grounds of fairness and consistency. In 2018, when I left the Conservative Party and sat as a lone councillor, and Councillor Helen Hall was sat as a Liberal Democrat lone councillor, when it came to the February meeting of the council, appointments to committees, and the formula was calculated as to how many seats we would have, we qualified for no seats, not a single seat, neither of us. We were then forced to form an alliance for eligibility for seats. Now, looking at the formula that's been applied to this current appointment committee, it's completely at odds with the one that was applied to me. Yet it's the same Act, Section 15 of the Local Government and Housing Act of 1989. That hasn't changed. There's been no amendments to it. So I'm questioning what the formula was to calculate that Councillor Hall and I didn't qualify for any seats, yet Councillor Grosvenor has been awarded two seats and he sits as the lone councillor. Clearly there's a miscalculation or a misappliance of the formula. So how can Councillor Grosvenor be awarded two seats and yet Councillor Hall and I didn't qualify for a single seat? So there appears to be no consistency in my view. So I can't vote for something that isn't consistent. Either the formula wasn't applied right in 2018, or it's not being applied now. Also, when I look at the calculations of the awards of seats, it seems to me that the Conservative Party, the controlling group, should have two seats on planning and licensing that they're not taking up. But they've kind of forced Councillor Grosvenor to take those seats. So why is that when there's two vacant seats on both of the scrutinies that should be filled by the controlling group, but they're vacant? So on the one hand, you've got Councillor Grosvenor that is currently sitting on a scrutiny that has to leave that scrutiny to go to a planning and a licensing committee. Well, I mean, I'll leave him to speak as to why he doesn't want that. But what I'm saying is there's obviously an odds here at the calculation of the formula. So which was right? Was it 2018 or is it now? Because clearly there's unfairness. Thank you.
Councillor Grosvenor?
Andrew,
I think you can answer the questions at the end, if that's all right. Councillor Grosvenor, would you like to continue?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I will. I'd like to thank Councillor Florence-Dukes for her kind comments and to put some flesh on the bones. I can't attend planning and licensing committees. They are daytime meetings. And I know that some councillors have come off daytime meetings because they're not able to attend because they have full-time employment. I'm currently not full-time employed, but I am seeking employment. And for me to go to an interview to say, but I can't make the second Tuesday in every month or the third Wednesday and this, that and the other, I'm afraid it doesn't sit well with a prospective employer, and I do need full-time employment. So I can't attend planning and licensing. However, to put some flesh on the bones of what Councillor Florence Jukes has said, in 2018, when the proportionality was calculated then, Conservatives had 61.54% of the council, and the Labour Group had 33% of the council. Independents had 2.56% each. The formula was applied to the committees, and instead of the Conservatives, which they should have had 61 seats on committees, the Conservatives ended up with 67 seats on committees. That's six more than they were entitled to the proportionality that was calculated in 2018. And Labour had 32 seats on committees, they should have had 33. So that was the calculation in 2018. The calculation now, I'm told, is such that the proportionality is applied to committees, and whatever seats are left over after it's been applied to those committees are then awarded or given to an independent, non-grouped councillor. That wasn't done in 2018. The six seats there that were given to the Conservatives that were not given to independent ungrouped councillors in 2018. So there's no consistency. On the current figures, with regards to planning and licensing, the Conservatives have now got a percentage, of 61.54%, and that means they should really have, they've got 60% of the seats on planning and licensing. That's less than their proportionality allows them. On the scrutiny committees, they have just over 62% of the seats. That's more than the proportionality that allows them to have on scrutiny, if you look at it, given the fact that the rules say overall they should have 61.54%, and then on committees they should have 61.54%. They've got less on planning and licensing than they should have, and more on scrutiny than they should have. As the Conservatives are carrying two vacancies on the scrutiny committee for the value for money and the audit scrutiny, and they are evening meetings, I'm going to make a suggestion that they carry two vacancies on planning and licensing, and I will sit on those scrutiny positions that are currently held if I'm forced to have a committee make-up, which is to ungrouped councillors. Then I'm more than willing to sit on the scrutiny for value for money and audit committees, and that will be the two seats that are awarded to me as an ungrouped councillor. Like I said, it's unfair to make a councillor sit on a committee that they can't attend. When councillors are asked to sit on committees, some councillors say, can't do that, it's a daytime. Can't do that, it's an evening after 6:30. And those considerations are taken into account. If I'm forced to sit on these committees and I can't attend them, which I will not be able to do, then the council is forcing me to not achieve my attendance percentage as a councillor, and I would treat that as unfair, unequitable, and persecution, quite honestly. As I've said, there are two vacant seats on scrutiny. The Conservatives have more seats on scrutiny than they are allocated, or should be allocated, 61.54%. They've got over 62%, and they've got less seats on planning and licensing. They're at 60%, and that's not 61.54%. And I refer again to the inconsistent application of the formula from 2018, when we last had two ungrouped councillors, to now when you've got an ungrouped councillor. And I would recommend that adjustment. Okay, I'll take the two seats on the scrutiny and the audit value for money, and there's two vacancies on planning and licensing. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Anybody else like to speak on this item? Andrew, would you like to respond to those issues, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As explained previously, we referred you to Section 15 of the Local Government and Housing Act 1989 and the Local Government Committees and Political Groups Regulations 1990, in particular Regulation 15. Not being a member of a group, it forced the Council to allocate the seats, and the allocation is commensurate with the proportion of one seat to the current total membership of the Council, preserving the political balance. The Council must, by law, ensure political balance, and also we're dealing with fractions versus whole people, so the discretion is between the political balance and ensuring the balances as, for the council as a whole and also the committees as a whole. I'm not sure if the monitoring officer wants to add anything further.
Councillor Grosvenor, will you stop talking, please?
Are you not during the officer's talk?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, otherwise I would have done. Okay, I'm sorry, Councillor Fletcher, I would have done, but I didn't hear that then. Thank you, Andrea, for that. Would you like to return to your seat now? We'll now go to the vote. Those in favour of the appointment committees as presented to the Council, please show. Those against, please show. And any abstentions, please. Thank you. The motion is carried. We now move on to item 10, the appointments of chairman. I invite the leader to present this item, please.
Thank you, Matt. I propose the following appointments as committee chairs. Planning Committee, Councillor Vicky Gould. Licensing Committee, Councillor Simon Gaskin. Appeals Committee, Councillor Julie Caloran. Development Plan Committee, Councillor George Allen. Complaints Panel, Councillor Ed Barker. The Scrutiny, Audit and Value for Money Committee, Councillor Adam Clark. The Audit Statement of Accounts Committee, Councillor Adam Clark. The Scrutiny, Community Regeneration, Environment and Health and Wellbeing Committee, Councillor Colin Wildman. The Senior Officer Employment Committee, myself. The Standards Committee, Councillor Julie Caloran. Madam Mayor, those are my proposals. As a brief aside, I would also like to extend my thanks to Councillor Phil Hudson for his excellent chairmanship of the Audit and Value for Money Services Committee. He's done so with great skill and ability, so my thanks to Councillor Hudson.
Thank you, Leader. Could I have a seconder for this proposal, please? Councillor Metcalfe. Would anybody like to speak on these proposals? Councillor Grosvenor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can I just say I'm surprised that Councillor Hudson has been removed as chair of this scrutiny committee. And certainly since I sat on that scrutiny, I've always found Councillor Hudson to be fair and equitable in the way he's chaired those committees and has taken on board the views of all councillors of that committee in a fair way and has managed it really well. So I'm really surprised that he's been replaced this evening. I understand he's county councillor, I understand he's deputy mayor, but in the past none of those particular appointments, either a county councillor or a deputy mayor, has meant that a chairman of a committee has had to stand down. Obviously, when you become mayor, there's more difficulty in the role, and I understand that there might be a change then. But I'm surprised this evening and a little bit upset and concerned that Councillor Hudson has been removed as that chairman. I don't see that being deputy mayor should preclude him from being chairman of that committee, and I wish him well, but I'm very surprised and disappointed.
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. Would anybody else like to comment? Then we'll move to the vote. Those favour in the appointment of chairman, as stated by our leader. Any against? Any abstentions? The motion's carried. Now move on to item 11, the Annual Treasury Management Report for 2020-2021. I'd like to invite the leader to present this report, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is the final in a series of three Treasury Management Reports that the Council is required under the appropriate legislation to receive each year. The report provides members with a summary of the Council's performance in relation to its investments and borrowing against the strategy that we approved as a Council in February 2020. The report was presented to the Scrutiny, Audit and Value for Money Council Services Committee on the 24th of June, who passed it to us all without further comment or recommendation. In summary, the Council's core investment stood at £45.7 million as of the 31st of March 2021, with average returns throughout the year on our investments of 0.21%. Whilst this is a relatively modest return, given the base rate and our cautious approach to investments, it represents a solid performance and performs well against benchmarks. During the COVID-19 pandemic, there were two emergency cuts to the bank base rate by the Bank of England during March 2020, which means that the rate was reduced and has remained at 0.1% for all of 2020-21. This has resulted in investment income from daily cash management activities being significantly below the budget set in February 2020. Due to the current uncertain economic conditions, there is little expectation of a bank rate rise for the foreseeable future, and therefore investment returns are likely to remain low for the medium term. The Council's actual borrowing remains broadly the same at around £11 million, which represents an underborrowed position. This is more cost-effective in the current climate, whereby investment rates are low. The capital financing requirement, our underlying need to borrow, reduced during the year as a result of both statutory and approved voluntary sums set aside for debt repayment. Although, as reported earlier in the year, this reduction was not as large as originally anticipated due to timing of capital receipts that are committed as part of the medium-term financial strategy. Overall, Treasury management activities were consistent with the Treasury management strategy, and the Council has operated within its approved prudential and Treasury limits during the course of the year. Madam Mayor, I propose a recommendation as set out in Section 9 of the report.
Thank you. Could I have a seconder for this report, please? Councillor Sylvester? Does anybody wish to speak on this item? And in that case, we'll move straight. Councillor Grosvenor?
Madam Mayor, thank you. Apologies for my tardiness in sticking my hand up. I can't support the report this evening. No doubt that's no surprise to the Leader of the Council or the Conservative Group. I didn't support it at the Audit Committee that it was presented at on Thursday. Can't support it this evening. Quite simply, I have no confidence in the financial acumen or abilities of the Conservative Cabinet or the Leader to run this Council. I don't believe his decision-making is... what's the word I'm looking for? Well, I don't think he makes decisions. He's clearly readied the reserves over the next 4 years without making a single decision about the financial well-being of this Council, and there's no way I can support this report. No, a number of Conservatives will now get up and say they do support it, but I can't support it, and I will not vote for it this evening.
Anybody else wish to speak on this motion? Councillor Florence Jukes?
Yeah, just to echo a point made by Councillor Grosvenor about the reserves, that is a real concern to me. And I know there was chat about, what are reserves for? They're for emergencies in a pandemic. That money would have been far better spent giving cash injections to community centres to get them back on the feet in the next year or two. Maybe cutting parking for a whole year. Maybe cutting, business rates for small businesses. That's what we should be doing, not just propping up normal day-to-day expenditure in the Council with the reserves for the next 4 years. So I won't be supporting this either. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Then we'll move to the vote. Those for the motion to accept the Annual Treasury Management Report, please show. Would those against the motion please show? And are there any abstentions, please? The motion is carried. We now move on to item 12, the appointment of the councillor to serve on the Health and Care Overview and Scrutiny Committee of the Staffordshire County Council. like to invite Leda to present this item, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I would like to propose Councillor Colin Wildman as the representative on the Staffordshire County Council Health and Care Overview and Scrutiny Committee.
Thank you. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Allen? Would anybody like to speak on this item? Then we'll move straight to the vote. Those in favour of the motion, please show. And those against, please show. And are there any abstentions? The motion is carried. Move on to item 13, the appointment of Staffordshire County Council member to serve on the Scrutiny, Community Regeneration, Environment and Health and Wellbeing Committee. I'd like to invite the leader to present this item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a proposal from Staffordshire County Council, who have proposed Councillor Philip Atkins to be the Staffordshire County Council representative on the Scrutiny, Community Regeneration, Environment, Health and Wellbeing Committee.
Thank you. Could I have a seconder, please? Councillor Gaskin. Would anybody like to speak on this item? Then we'll move straight to the vote. Would you please show if you are in favour of the motion? Those against, please show. And any abstentions? The motion is carried. Move on to item 14, the appointment of the councillor and alternate to serve on the Greater Birmingham Solihull Local Enterprise Partnership Joint Scrutiny Committee. I invite the leader to present this item, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I would like to propose Councillor Sheila McKeonan and Councillor Dennis Fletcher as an alternate to serve on the Greater Birmingham and Solihull Local Enterprise Partnership Joint Scrutiny Committee.
Thank you. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Fitzpatrick. Would anybody like to speak on this item? Then I'll move straight to the vote. Those for the motion. Those against. Are there any abstentions? The motion is carried. Item 15 is the council meeting dates for the following year. I'd like to invite the leader to present this item, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I would like to propose the following dates for council meetings of the 21-22 municipal year. The 13th of December 2021, the 28th of February 2022, the 14th of March 2022, and the 13th of May 2022, the latter being the annual council meeting.
Thank you. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Allen. Does anybody like to speak on this item? Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I was hoping the leader was going to perhaps insert a new date, but he hasn't, so I would like to propose an amendment. My amendment is that to insert at the top of the list, 26th of July 2021. Would you like me to bring it?
Yeah, please. Thank you. Do I have a seconder for this amendment? Councillor Fletcher? Councillor Fletcher, would you like to speak on this amendment?
No, reserve my right.
Okay. Councillor Fitzpatrick, would you like to speak on this motion?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor, fellow councillors. Had the leader accepted that amendment, I probably wouldn't have spoke. I know some members might think there may not be any business to deal with, but I'm sure you're all aware that one of our residents, a group of petitioners, unfortunately missed the deadline to submit a petition to this council. And unfortunately also, the next council meeting that could receive that petition and deal with it is 6 months away. Now, our constitution, the part that shows the petitions and the scheme of petitions that we have, clearly states that we take communications with our residents very, very seriously, and we take their petitions very, very seriously when they want to tell us things and what's on their mind. Now, with that in mind, I think that six-month delay is such a long time. Now, there is no motive behind where I'm coming from other than that the petitioners feel that their petition is received and dealt with. I have not even set eyes on this petition, I promise you. And luckily enough, at this council meeting, we have the perfect opportunity to put that right. The item before us now is to set the next dates for our ordinary council meetings and obviously then our annual council meeting. And I would suggest to members of the council that we would indeed send the right message if we insert that date for our next meeting to deal with that petition and any other business that may come along. So I hope members feel that they could support that motion, that amendment.
Would any other members like to speak on this motion? Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Although I'm in support of the motion and the amendment that Councillor Fitzpatrick has suggested, I just want to put some facts behind one of the points he made, which was the petition wasn't received in the right time scale. Petition received at 18:47 on the working day of Monday.
Councillor Grosvenor, I'll stop you there. We don't need to discuss the details of that particular petition. We're only going to talk about the motion spoke. I don't think we need to go over the justification or not as to whether the petition was received. So I'd be grateful if you would stop your comments on that matter.
Well, I think it relates to what Councillor Fitzpatrick said, Madam Mayor, to be fair.
Anybody else like to speak on this amendment? Councillor Florence Jukes.
Thank you. I'm absolutely in support of the amendment to the dates. I think it's a crucial date and it's certainly one that needs to be brought to the attention of this council for a proper debate. It is urgent and it is important that we deal with this matter really expeditiously, because before long we're going to be facing a business case where the decision is going to be taken out of our hands. So I think as a council we need to debate the petition and collectively have a decisive stance on where this council stands on that particular issue. So I'm absolutely in support of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Allen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it's appropriate to ask for a appropriate officer to advise, because my interpretation of the council meeting dates is to deliver the corporate plan. And whilst I agree to a certain extent with the suggestion that we have a meeting to consider the petition, and in fact it would probably be convenient that it's done sooner rather than later, my interpretation is that we only set council meeting dates to deliver the corporate plan. So sticking another date in there because we know something is going to come forward. I'm just wondering if that's the right thing to do, or whether we should just have an extraordinary meeting. Perhaps the leader will be.
Can you have some clarification, please?
Just to pick up on what Councillor Fitzpatrick said, we can't convene an extraordinary meeting purely for the purpose of considering a debate petition, but if there is an extraordinary council meeting called in any event, then it is permissible to have that petition on the agenda.
I think that answers your question. Councillor Walker.
Yes. Sorry, that may have asked the question, but I think the question to that is how do we call an extraordinary council meeting where we can add on probably one of the biggest issues that this town's faced? That obviously we know motions have been rejected tonight, and the public deserves an answer. I quite welcome the deputy leader's suggestion that he's almost in agreement, and then he sort of, when it comes to scrutiny and transparency, he backs off a little. So, yeah, I think the question is, how do we call that, and what basis, and what do we have to do to call to make sure this happens, and to make sure that people's voices are heard?
I'd just like to remind you that the mention has already been of a business case. If there was a business case put forward for any of the items that have been touched on tonight, then an extraordinary council meeting will be called anyway. Do I have anybody else who'd like to speak on the motion?
Sorry, Madam Mayor, that really wasn't the question, but if that's your answer...
Okay. Councillor Grover, you've already spoken on this item. I'm going to move to the vote on this. Oh, I beg your pardon. Councillor Fitzpatrick, Councillor Fletcher, would you like to say any more on this item?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, thank you for giving me the right of reply. As was mentioned, and the monitoring officer confirmed, we're not able to call extraordinary meetings of the council, which is something that Councillor Grosvenor mentioned earlier. And yes, you could wait for one to come along, but when is that going to happen? And as I said, this item on the agenda is the perfect opportunity to set an additional meeting of the council, and I think that would send a very positive message to the residents of the borough and to the petitioners in particular, and I hope members search their minds and think that this is not, as I said, a political debate about the library move. It's about receiving a petition and dealing with it. That's all. Thank you.
We'll now move to the vote on the amendment. Those in favour of the amendment, please show. Thank you. Those against the amendments? Thank you. Any abstentions, please? Thank you. Thank you. The amendment has now been carried. So we will now move to vote on the substantive motion with that date included in the diary. Do we need a second proposal? We don't do. We just move to it, don't we? Yes, just move. Just checking up on the technicalities. I'm a bit out of date and need brushing up on them. So we'll move to the vote on the substantive motion. Would you please indicate if you are for the dates as amended in the diary? Any against? Any abstentions? Well, it's very clear that that amended motion has been carried. Now move to item 16, which is questions. And you'll see from the paper that's already been circulated that we've received questions in advance from Councillor Florence Jukes, Councillor Grosvenor, and Councillor Walker. By now, I hope you've all had the chance to read through the responses provided, and may I remind councillors that there should be no debate on questions on full notice in the full council. However, in accordance with section 18.9 onwards of part 3A of the Constitution, the questioners have the right to ask one supplementary question relating directly to the answer given, and they may express satisfaction or dissatisfaction with the response given. So if I can begin with Councillor Florence Jukes.
Thank you, Mayor.
Do you wish to ask a supplementary question relating directly to the answers given?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Do you wish to express satisfaction or dissatisfaction with the answers?
Neither, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Grosvenor, do you wish to ask a supplementary question relating directly to the answers given?
Yes, Madam Mayor, on 11.21, if I may, or 11/21.
Yes, please.
Thank you. I'd like to thank, first of all, the Leader of the Council for his very full answer. Not much of it relates to the question, but would he agree with me, therefore, that Mr Declan Hall, the independent chairman of the remuneration panel, also fundamentally fails to understand how the role of cabinet support members will operate in practice, as when the decision was taken in January last year to appoint cabinet support members, Declan Hall gave the justification that, quote, he thinks they will do at least 50% of the work of a cabinet member. And that justification was then given to members in the council to vote in support of cabinet support members and an allowance being given to them. So my question was purely on the basis of, can the leader now give me an update on what that percentage is? And would he agree, therefore, that Declan Hall failed fundamentally to understand the role of a cabinet support member?
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. Leader, would you like to respond to this question?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will answer the supplemental question in writing.
Thank you. Councillor Grosvenor, can you express satisfaction or dissatisfaction?
Oh, deep dissatisfaction, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Walker, do you wish to ask a supplementary question relating directly to the answers given?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I know the response. I'll give you my answer now. If this is right, I've got to satisfaction of the answer, but can the leader give me his undertaking now that if this is the case in his answer, he will relate this back to the soup kitchen volunteers as soon as possible, because they are not under this understanding and there is deep concern of what's going on. So I would appreciate if he could relay that back to the volunteers.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Leader?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I can give him that assurance that that will happen by next Wednesday.
Okay. Do you wish to leave the satisfaction and dissatisfaction aspect?
Madam Mayor, I always said if you could give me that, it's satisfaction.
I just wondered in light of the answer whether you wish to take it.
You give me that guarantee, so it's satisfaction.
Okay. Well, after this very interesting meeting and my first meeting as mayor. I'm really sorry that the bar isn't open and I can't offer to take you all upstairs for a drink. Hopefully things may have changed. We don't know. Perhaps even by the July meeting, things may have changed by then. But thank you for attending this evening. And I now declare the meeting closed.